Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. This one's messing up. Okay. All right. Let me undo the knife that's giving us a little trouble. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. If you've been coming consistently, there has been a theme that has been reoccurring. I've been quoting this scripture. I want to teach on it and return to it a little while today. That we get into it just a little bit deeper, because it involves an overarching theme, not just this one incident where Jesus said what he said, but an overarching theme. And that theme being Jesus is a great high priest who ever lives to make intercession. I'm going to talk about the present day priestly ministry of Jesus. Can you say amen? And I want to read from something we've been quoting many, many times. We've been playing a video about the Lord's deliverance from those on the sea. How when they called on him, he stopped the wind and he stopped the rain and he saved them. We've been talking about Satan wanting to destroy all of God's people, but Jesus praying for us, Jesus making intercession for us. If you're living in victory today, you're not living in victory because of your high holy anointing alone. You're not living in victory just because you have put on the armor of God. Amen. You're living in victory not just because of your great faith and your ability to trust God. You're living in victory because someone is making intercession for you. Can you say amen? In fact, the shield of faith involves acknowledging that someone who is making intercession for us. It's what quenches the fiery darts of the wicked is not your ability to have such a high, crucial level of faith at any given time that nothing in Satan's arsenal ever harms you. That is not what the shield of faith is all about. Amen. The shield of faith involves a focus upon the one who is for you, the person, not just the power. And that's where many, many Pentecostals have lost victory, because they focus on the power within themselves instead of the person who is living with them, who ever lives to make intercession for them. The Apostle Paul put it this way: what more shall we say to these things if God be for us? Say that with me: if God be for us, who can be against us? That's not just a New Testament concept. Psalm 124 in the Old Covenant says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have what? Swallowed us up quickly. Can you say amen? And then it said, let all Israel say. It's not enough for David to make that statement. All Israel is challenged to say the same thing. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies had swallowed us up quickly. Amen. I want your faith focused on a person, not just upon power. On someone's faithfulness concerning you, not just, amen, your faith. The shield of faith involves focusing on a person. The Bible said looking unto the power within you, your highly developed faith. No, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Can you say amen? Everybody say a person. Listen to this out of Luke 22, 31 through 32. And I got to slow down to teach this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, speaking to Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The phrase have you in the Greek, as I've told you before, is plural. It's in the plural. And it literally means to have all of you, all the disciples, not just Peter. If you're a Christian today, this still stands. Satan desires to have all of you, that he may sift you as the wheat. And you know who some of the biggest failures in the Pentecostal movement have been? People that presumed that apart from Christ's intercession, our faith can give us victory. We say all the right things. We do all the right things. We take all the authority that is ours. And we don't understand that the beginning of all victory is in Christ's priestly ministry of intercession. If he wasn't praying for you, you couldn't have any highly developed faith. If he wasn't interceding for you, you couldn't stand for 1 minute. If he ever stops interceding for you, in spite of all your anointing, all your knowledge of the word, you will fall and you will fail. Listen to the word of God. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Can you say amen? Everybody say him who is able. You can't keep yourself. You can't develop yourself. God didn't design faith to make you independent from him, but to make you more dependent on him. And the stronger you grow in faith, the more dependent you become on Jesus. Paul said, it's no more I that live. I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. And yet it's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. Everybody say it's a person. It's a person, not just power. I've known as many tongue-talking people feel God as non-tongue-talking people. If you think just getting the Holy Ghost is going to keep you from falling, you're wrong, because it's not the power that keeps you from falling. It's the person. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and listen to this, and present you how? A way you can never present yourself, faultless. Hallelujah. Anyone in here without faults? Anyone in here without room to grow? Anyone in here so highly? I've had them come down through the years. I've been preaching for now 37 years in this ministry, headed for 38, and I'm preaching over a year before coming to the Holy Church of God. So I'm right at the 40 years of ministry mark. And boy, I've seen them come, and I've seen them go. Amen. There are preachers on TV right now that I never heard of until they got on television. Can you say amen? I'm not impressed because someone's on television. Amen? Being on TV doesn't make you right necessarily. Amen? Being tongue-talking Christian doesn't make you super person. How many have discovered that? Preaching the gospel doesn't mean that automatically you're going to overcome everything because preachers of the gospel have fallen. Especially when they become so anointed and so powerful. There are people in this room right now that have come to a stunted growth, spiritual life, because you reached the apex. You spoke in tongues. You interpreted a message. You got some good teachings on the armor of God. It's going to take more than just a teaching on spiritual warfare. You need to put your focus on someone who is interceding for you. If Jesus hadn't prayed for Peter, Peter would have failed. If Jesus doesn't pray for the church will fail. There's only one that can keep you from falling. And it's not you in some kind of highly anointed, highly spiritually developed state. It's Jesus. It comes full circle. It always comes back around to Jesus. Say, Brother Venable, how do you stand all of these years and preach the gospel every Sunday? I want you to know in almost 38 years, we're 37 and a half years into pastoring this church, and I haven't called in one Sunday because of discouragement or because of sickness or because of any other reason. I haven't picked up the phone and say, I'm not coming. Have you ever been so discouraged you didn't feel like going? You don't want to know how many times. I always like the story of the man who woke up on Sunday morning and he just looked at the clock and he knew it was time to go to church and he just felt discouraged, disgusted, worn out, tired, sick at heart more than sick in body. Amen. And he just rolled over and covered up his head. He could hear his wife getting ready. You know, a hair blower, it's a sign that you're getting down close. That's the finishing touch. Can you say, man, is the hair dryer? He hears the hair dryer in the bathroom, and he just puts the pillow over his head, covers his head up. And so she comes in and says, honey, it's time for church. Get up. We're going to be late. And he says, I just don't, you go without me. I just can't do it this morning. I just can't do it. He said, but honey, everyone's expecting you. He said, I know it, but I just can't do it this morning. Just tell them I'm sick. Just go on without me. She said, but honey, everybody's depending on you being there. And besides that, you're the pastor. Pastors get discouraged. Preachers get discouraged. They may be honest enough to tell you about it, or they may keep it hidden and act like they're a super person, but everybody experiences discouragement. Amen. Everybody has challenges in their life. Everybody. No one is. There's no exceptions from this. I'm so glad in the Bible it's clear. David talked about how long, O Lord. I'll put it this way. I'll bring it into the contemporary language of our day. Lord, give me patience and hurry. Can you say, man? How long, O Lord, will you not avenge me against my enemy? How long are you? Every time I go into trial, I pray David's prayer. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Amen. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I can tell you that if you wait upon the Lord, you will mount up with wings as an eagle. You will run and not be weary, and you will walk and not faint. For those of you that are going to just sit and look at me and not get involved in this service, I'm going to ask the Lord to take that anointing He'd love to pour into you and just give me a double portion this morning. So just sit there and look at me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because I am hungry for this thing that I'm talking about. I'm living in it. I'm walking in it. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have a great Redeemer who ever lives to do what? To continually make intercession for me. I need His prayers. I need your prayers. I would rather have your prayers, amen, than a brand new Cadillac. And y'all know that because you've never bought me that Cadillac. And it's okay. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I mean it. I'd rather have you pray for me. What good would riches be if I lose the victory in Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. I feel prayer. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes in the middle of the day when I'm going through something that's so discouraging and breaking me down, and then suddenly there'll be something come, something I can't explain, I can't put my finger on, but it comes and it lifts me up. And I say, somebody, somewhere, right now, is praying for me. Can you say amen? I believe you can feel the force of intercession. I believe when people pray, you can feel it. Yes. Praise God. C.H. Spurgeon took a group of people in that great church in England, the first mega church. Praise God. 10,000 people at the turn of the century was unheard of in churches. And in England, amen, that great church in England where Spurgeon ministered ran 10,000 people. And he took a group of people that came to visit him into the basement of that church. Amen. And he said, I want to show you the power plant in my church. So on a Saturday night, and he took them downstairs. And when they went downstairs, they expected and seen some great furnace to heat that church in the cold winters in the United Kingdom. And instead, there was a whole group of people praying in intercession. And when he got down in the basement, he said, here is the power plant. This is the reason that God saves on Sunday morning. This is why God delivers when I preach. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then a journalist came to him and said, C.H. Spurgeon, other ministers are ministering a similar message, but they're not having the same result. Can you tell us the secret of the results you're getting? Amen. He said, my people pray for me. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say the power of intercession. Let me tell you something about your Bible. Where real victory is won or lost. It's not in your personal daily challenges from the enemy. Amen. It's whether you can pray effectively, particularly in intercession. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 around that area says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but of powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you something, friend. If it wasn't for God being for you, you could never defeat this kind of formidable array of entities that are spiritual and powerful. Can you say amen? But God is in fact for you. And the Bible said he, it's always about a person, Brother Taylor, not just about power. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Can you say amen? Amen. Those that my Father hath given me, it's all about a person. Hallelujah. Those that my Father hath given me, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. For the Father which giveth them me, he is greater than them all. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We argue not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. Take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, praying with all prayer and supplication.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Two friends of mine, one joined the Marine Corps, one joined the Navy, right out of high school. They went down before they graduated to sign up. And I saw them when they first got their uniform. Boy, they love that uniform. They sure look good in that uniform. If all there was is wearing the uniform, then they would have been perfectly happy. But it just so happened at the end of my high school tenure, Vietnam was breaking out. Amen. And they found out that it was more than putting on a uniform and wearing that smart uniform, that beautiful military haircut. Hallelujah. Amen. And standing and getting those great pictures taken. I've never seen an unhandsome guy in uniform in one of those pictures. Everybody looks good in uniform. Of course, they're young and that helps. Can you say amen? But they all look good in uniform. But this is not just about wearing the uniform. Can you say amen? This is not just about wearing the uniform. It's not just about putting on the armor. Amen. It's about fighting the good fight of faith. And when we talk about faith, that's what Jesus talked about, that thy faith fail not. And what did he tell him so his faith wouldn't fail? He told him, someone is in your corner when you're weak. Someone is in your corner when you're discouraged. Someone is in your corner when you are cast down. When the enemy looks like he's going to make his move to destroy you, someone's going to stand up. Can you say amen? When the first Christian martyr is being stoned, amen, the Bible said Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. Yes, and he said, as far as the work that he came to accomplish, he said, I don't have to do anything else. I've already set victory in motion for the church. Amen. As far as what needed to be done to accomplish victory, it's been done at the cross. But when that man was being stoned, something happened in heaven. Jesus actually said, I'm going to sit right here until my enemies become my footstool. I've done set in motion everything necessary, amen, to save fallen man. Hallelujah. To secure him. Praise God. I don't have to do something every day in that respect. I sat here until my enemies become my footstool. I'm already sitting down, and one day all the enemies of God will be my footstool. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But when a man is under the gun, when the first Christian martyr is being stoned, he saw something in heaven that was different from what Jesus said. Jesus did something. Amen. He's seated. Amen. Because he set all this in motion for us. But when a man down there is under the gun, they're stoning him to death. He said, I see heaven opened and I see Jesus standing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why was he standing up? Why was he standing up? Because when we are cast down, he stands up. When we are cast down, he stands up. Can you say amen? Why does he stand up? He ever lives to make intercession. Hallelujah. Peter, I have prayed for you. And what was going to keep his faith from failing? Because he's going to be reminded who's in his corner. Who's standing up when he's cast down. Can you say, man, we got an idea today. Remember the day of the tiptoe through the tulips? How many remember Tiny Tim? Rest of you never seen it? I'll bring you a video clip. Amen. He used to be on Johnny Carson quite often. Amen.
6'4".
Tiny Tim. Yeah, he's a big guy, but he's weird. Way out. Far out weird. Tiptoe Through the Tulips was his trademark song. Everybody wanted to hear him play the ukulele and sing it. Don't get me started. You won't like it. Can you say amen? I can't even do it good as he did it, and he did it very bad. But anyway, he was unique. I think of him. I think of that song. When I hear preachers talking about, amen, this tiptoe through the tulips type of faith, where you develop your faith to such a high level that you don't need to lean on Jesus like these poor guys down at the bottom of the heap here that are just trying to climb God's mountain. Oh, we're way down. We're way on top. We're on the pinnacle. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. That when faith is highly developed, you become highly dependent upon the Lord. The more faith grows, the more dependent you are on the Lord. The more faith talks, the more Jesus' name is mentioned. Can you say amen? Jesus' name is glorified. Nobody says, look what your faith has done, but they all say, look what your God has done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. He ever lives to make intercession. Somebody's in your corner today. Hallelujah. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Unto him, it's always about this person. It's always about this person. I like the Amplified New Testament. Simon Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him. Out of the power and keeping of God. Everybody say, out of the power and keeping of God. You see, the devil knows. He knew it back in the ancient book of Job. He's known it from day one concerning God's covenant people. The only way I can ever hurt them is get them out of the power and keeping of God. And the only person that can take you out of the power and keeping of God is you.
All right.
And I'm not just talking about compromise and sin. I'm talking about a confidence in yourself. There's a point where tongue-talking people think, I have arrived. I don't know where they thought they were going, but they thought they got there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know where they were going? They were going to a place of a preeminence in the church. Where people looked up to them because of their revelation. Right. Paul said, lest I be lifted up.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Above measure. Uh-huh. That means fall into pride and self-confidence. Yeah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
There was given to me because of my what? My many revelations. Not my many Escalades, my many Cadillacs. No, my many revelations. Amen. This is a positive thing that he said could become a negative if I take credit for what God is doing in my life.
Amen.
Amen. And lest I be lifted up above measure, there was given to me of the Lord. That means in his permissive will, he allowed Satan certain inroads toward Paul.
All right. Amen.
Satan's hitman. Everybody say Satan's hitman.
Hitman.
Satan got a hitman. An emissary from hell means a special agent. It means someone so good at discouraging, distracting, and deceiving that Satan picked out his best minion to send and put him on Paul's case. And how did this operate? It operated without and then it began to affect him within. Yep. It came first through persecution, and then it began to affect him within. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble. There's that crazy hitman from hell causing trouble everywhere Paul went. Can you say, man, that we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure? Amen. And what? Despaired of life itself. Can you say, man? Come on now. Listen, didn't he need somebody's tapes? Didn't he need some tapes on confession? Amen. Didn't he need somebody to tell him that it's his old bad confession causing his trouble? It's not an emissary from hell. The Bible said it was an emissary from hell. And the Bible said without knowing it, that emissary served God's purpose in Paul. Amen. To keep him from self-sufficiency. To let him discover how weak he really is, even with his revelations, his anointings, that he still needed a person to intercede for him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. To intervene for him. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure. You don't hear this preached on much because it tears down that other doctrine. Can you say amen? And we despaired of life itself. Man who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Man who had revelations. Man who heard Jesus speak to him in an audible voice. In his calling to ministry. Yes, hallelujah. Man who experienced supernatural healing. And others through him experienced supernatural healing and deliverance. Yes, and yet he said, with all this anointing. With all of my faith. Man who wrote the book about faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Right. Can you say amen? Now faith is. Praise God. But he said faith. And you got to take it in the overarching context of what Jesus is doing in our behalf. Because when the focus is off Jesus, it's either on your faith or it's on you. It's on your anointing. It's on your gifts. It's on your revelations. And the revelation that really brings true, authentic faith that doesn't fail is the revelation of how weak you are and how much you need him. Can you say amen? And how much you have him. Hallelujah. That's why the enemy has to work on you and work on me. Because there are things that can take us out of God's power and keeping. And one of those things is self-confidence. Okay. Self-assurance. Amen. You see them every day on television. They're so self-confident and self-assured. They got all the faith in the world. They're going to teach you to have all the faith in the world until it comes time to receive the offering. Then suddenly they need to merchandise and manipulate to get the money in. Because they can't just go in the closet and let him that seeth in secret reward them openly. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, they can't do that with all the prance and dance and preaching. All the declarations about confession. They can't just go in their closet. Get down on their knees and say, God, I'm going to commit my ministry, my television ministry, my life, my church, my finances, my everything to you. So when I walk out before the general public out here, I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm not going to be a glorified fundraiser. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say it? Wouldn't that be refreshing? Yes. To see faith. At work. In a person who controls everything. Oh, I didn't worry about who was going to show up this morning. Not this morning. Because whoever God wants here is here.
Amen, brother.
Can you say amen? If you obey the Lord. Hallelujah. If I had fretted over this small crowd and not seeing them come from the north, south, if I had let that get to me, I would have thrown in the towel. Did you ever want to? You bet. I thought about it a lot of times. Amen. I've been down to see if there was a boat to Tarshish many times. Amen. Can you say amen? And guess what? There's always a boat waiting. Anytime you want to bail out, there'll be a boat to take you. Amen. But there's a difference in this ministry. God called me to do this. I can take all the boats to Tarshish I want, but I don't think I'm going to make it to Tarshish. Tarshish to me is somewhere in North Carolina. There is a log cabin near a Modern, yes, yeah, it's not one of them primitive log cabins. Amen. The wife needs certain things. Can you say that? And I do too. It's got to have cable. I'll turn loose my remote when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Amen. Listen to me. That's a new bumper sticker. Anyway, listen. It's got somewhere in North Carolina. I will retire. I will go live among those people that say, I'm glad to see you, instead of avoid you in the grocery store. Some people, I don't know what they said about me, what they did, but they can't look me in the eye. And I think that's very sad. People that I've known for years, that if they saw me coming one day, they'd kind of go the other way. And I don't confront people out in the public and say, where you been? What you been doing? I don't do that. Can you say, man? I just don't do that. I've never done that. I would avoid me too if I did things like that. I don't do that. But when people can't make eye contact, I assume that there's something wrong. They must have really been on me and they didn't want to face me. So I've actually seen people go the other way. And to be honest with you, I've seen some people I went the other way. I did. I did, sisters. Not because I don't love them. It's just because loving them don't change them. And until they change, they're a mess. And I thought, I really don't have time for this today. That's right. I'm pursuing peace. Wasted energy. Absolutely. Wasted. Sometimes don't cast your pearl before swine. They'll turn and rend you. Won't help them, but it'll hurt you. And I don't have time to mess with people that don't love God, don't want to love God, don't know God, don't want to know God. Say they know God, but don't know God. Want to tell me how to know God. And I'm okay. Just leave me alone. Praise God. Amen. Anyway, that's a whole other story. Self-confidence. Self-assurance. Remember Saul? When God sent him and said, I want you to slay everything. You are an instrument of my judgment. This is not something you are authorized to do. I can send fire out of heaven. I can send you and your army. I'm deciding to send you and your army. Because I want the name of the God of Israel to be glorified. Not just a God, but the God. So I'll designate myself as the true and living God. Because I'm sending Saul and his army to execute judgment. And the idolatry such, and the demonized. I believe people were absolutely demon possessed. I believe the giant was demon possessed. I don't believe he was just big alone. I believe there was a supernatural something going on. That's why it took the supernatural to bring him down. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, 1,000 archers all pointing at that giant. I don't care how big he is. The arrows don't care. Amen. A 13-year-old with an AK-47 don't care how long you've been working out. Come on. It doesn't matter how big. AK-47 don't care. Come on. Your Velcro best sure won't help you. What is the name of that stuff? Kevlar? AK-47, armor piercing. Teflon. Don't make no difference. Going right on through. Shield of faith. If it's faith in your personal ability without leaning on Jesus, what's going to happen? Fiery dart coming through. Faith in his faithfulness, nothing can penetrate. And that's why Jesus said, you're going to go through wavering times. And Satan's going to ask to take you out of my power and keeping. But remember, the source of your victory is my intercession for you. Can you say amen? And when you are converted, when you're not self-assured, when you're not self-sufficient, when you become ultra-dependent on me, you can go out and tell your brethren how to walk in victory. But until you're ultra-dependent on me, you can't tell them anything about how to walk in true victory. Because ultimately, when a man says, behold, I stand, what happens? He's in terrible danger. He better take heed lest he fall. Can you say amen? That's why some of the mightiest warriors of God have fallen as far as anointing was. But it takes more than anointing. David was so highly anointed. But when he saw a young woman bathing, he couldn't take his eyes off of her. And he failed. He almost lost his kingdom. He lost his testimony. He lost the victory. He had to come back in deep repentance and great dependency. He said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Listen to his humility and dependence. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me. Can you say amen? Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. He, listen to the personal pronouns here. He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock. He put a song in my heart. Those trust my life will hear about it, and they will take courage and be glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's how faith is supposed to work. I particularly like the term out of the power and keeping of God. Satan's our greatest enemy, seeks permission to destroy us. But that permission is denied because a great high priest stands in God's presence to intercede for us. Hallelujah. Someone said he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can you say amen? Uttermost means to the farthest extent. In other words, you can't be no more saved than God's salvation. And how does he do it? Seeing that he ever lives to do one thing in your behalf. So crucial to the fundamental framework for all victory. Amen. He ever lives to make intercession. Can you say amen? I like the way C.H. Spurgeon puts it. He said, how encouraging is the thought of the Redeemer's never ceasing intercession for us. When we pray, he pleads for us. And when we are not praying, he's advocating our cause. And by his supplication, shielding us from unseen dangers, we reach the hilltops of heaven and look back upon all the dangers and the way the Lord has led us. And we shall praise him who before the eternal throne undid the mischief which Satan was doing upon earth. How shall we thank him? Because he never held his peace, but day and night pointed to the wounds in his hands and carried our names upon his breastplate. Even before Satan had begun to tempt, Jesus had forestalled him and entered a plea in heaven. Mercy outruns malice. Here is a matter for joy, gratitude, hope, and confidence. Everybody say gratitude.
Gratitude.
Joy.
Joy.
Hope.
Hope.
Confidence.
Confidence.
We used to sing the song, if you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
And it's easy to say amen. It's another thing to notify your face. Amen. Amen. Vance Havner said, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles. This is old school. You used to have a skull and crossbones to warn you that it could be poisoned in huge amounts. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Happier faces on iodine bottles. I can look out this morning, and I've seen some people that were highly spiritual. They were so spiritual. They were always, you know, these super spiritual people seem to be so sensitive of Satan's realm. They can detect the devil anywhere, and clearly they're not detecting the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen? Because in his presence there's something called the fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasure. You don't look like you're sucking persimmons if you're experiencing pleasure. If you get me one of them strawberry milkshakes from Parksdale Farms, out of fresh strawberries in season, and I start sucking on that straw, amen, going to make me smile. I don't drink milkshakes to frown. Got any pickle juice milkshakes for the touch of persimmon? That's not why I go get my milkshake. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible said happy is the man. And that word blessed. Everybody say blessed. Everywhere in the Old Testament. You know what blessed means? Oh, it means all these material things. No, it doesn't start out with that. It starts out with something within, not something without.
Amen.
Something within that nothing without can create.
That's right.
Blessed. And it's all over the psalm. Blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor walketh in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, which law he doth meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Can you say amen? And whatever he puts his hand to shall prosper. Glory to God. But listen, it doesn't start out with what he's putting his hand to. It starts out about what's happening in his heart.
Amen.
Blessed. And it means in the Hebrew, happy to be envied. Happy to be envied. I have never wanted what some people have spiritually, because it don't even make them happy. Amen. Unhappy people telling with a bumper sticker that says, Christ is the answer. An old solemn, long-faced person sitting, snarling at the traffic. Can you say, man? Standing in that grocery line. Riffin', stiffin', rinkin', friffer. Remember that. Riffin', stiffin', rinkin', friffer. Amen. Standing there carrying on, complaining. Amen. It says 15 items or less. That lady's got 52 items. 52. I counted them. Happy. Be happy you can afford groceries.
Amen,
millions of people around the world would love to have your buggy standing in that line in Walmart saying, thank you, Jesus. If it takes me all day to get out of here, we're going to cook some groceries when we get home.
Amen, brother.
Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Listen. The people that are ultra dependent on God have his help. And the people that have his help are happy, because he doesn't help them that helps himself. He helps them that can't help themselves but depend on him. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. When I'm cast down, Sean, he stands up. That's why I'm going to get up. Not because of my faith, but his faithfulness and my faith in it. Somebody give God praise in him. He ever lives to make intercession for me. Ah! Paul said, I am what I am because of my highly developed spiritual sensitivity, because of my many revelations. No, he said, actually, God had me tested. He said, listen. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, if it wasn't for that grace, I couldn't stand. I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't be here today declaring the gospel. But God's grace has become my sufficiency. So when they saw all these gifts, all of these powerful anointings, heard these great revelations, he said, not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. It's always that personal pronoun. It's always God that is the focus of faith, not faith for the sake of faith alone. Can you say amen? I hear the prancing, dancing preachers that have become multimillionaires, have tens of thousands of people applauding them, and they talk like their faith got them there. I'm going to tell you something. If God didn't get you there, you're not there. Amen. You may appear to be something you're not, but I'm telling you something. Amen. True faith will make you humbly dependent upon the Lord for everything, every moment of every day. Hallelujah. And he is able to keep you from falling, literally going back into sin. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I remember people that were so sanctified. I remember one preacher came to our church. I'll get through with these stories and we'll quit in a moment. He came to our church and he was talking about sanctification. Set apart unto God. Cleansed and set apart unto God for a holy purpose. And he said, I have been fasting so much and praying so hard and living for God for so many years. And I know I have read the Bible through so many times. He said, I'm getting to the point that I can say the Apostle Paul, it's no more I that live, but Christ that lives in me. He said, if you go down to the funeral home and you go and find a cadaver there in the back room, you can go and curse him for everything you want to call him. And you won't get a response from him. Can you say me? He said, I'm dead just like that man. Of course, all the time he was bragging. You understand? He was bragging. Anyway, man, listen. He said, you can go and take a pin and stick it in his big toe, and you will not get a response from him. He said, I'm dead to that. He said, women don't tempt me. He said, I can't tell the difference when I shake the hand of a woman or when I shake the hand of a man. I can't even tell the difference. Either he's somewhere I'm not, or I got a long way to go. Can you say? I can still tell the difference, and vive la difference. Anyway. Amen. Can't tell the difference, Sean.
He's too spiritual for me.
Yeah, too spiritual for his own pants. Amen. So he decided to come off the evangelistic field, that hit and run, preach all this and tear off and not have to deal with people. And he took a church in my little town. Pastored for about 6 or 8 weeks. This dead man in the pulpit. Boy, they got on his last nerve. They wore him down. They wore him out. He said they want. A group got together, wanted to come against him over some issue, and so he said they came in my office, Brother Venable. See, he had already resigned the church. Now this dead man that it got to him. Amen. He had to acknowledge that he had a sudden resurrection. Can you say, man, of the flesh? Amen. Listen, he said they came to me and said there was five of them. And he said, I was sitting behind my desk when they walked in. And he said they had a look on their face like, this is big trouble. This is going to be big trouble. And he said, the thought occurred to me, Brother Venable. He said, if you hit the first one and knock him out, the rest will flee. That's not a dead man talking. That's a man who's very alive, emotionally upset. Amen. Hair trigger. Yeah, if you hit the first one and knock them out, the rest will flee. That thought came to him. Guess who gave him that thought? Amen. Didn't come from God. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Can you say, man? So he just gave up, threw in the towel, quit pastoring. Amen. And I think it tempered him a little bit. I think he had to back up and quit preaching that he didn't have flesh to deal with just like everybody else. And he needed someone higher than him. When my heart is, not if, but when it happens, and it will happen sooner or later and more than once. All of you that have set the course to serve God, you're going to have some bumps in the road.
Amen.
Come on. It's going to happen. But be of good cheer, Jesus said.
Yeah.
I, personal pronoun, focus of your faith. When you're having the trouble, he is standing tall. He is standing strong. In this world, you will have pressure and anguish. Be of good cheer. I, personal pronoun, I have overcome the world. Can you say me? Well, what's that got to do with me? Because you're supposed to look to him who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Therein is victory. Some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. But I'm glad you showed up today. Can you say amen? Because someday you might want to walk in victory. Someday you might want to get real. Someday you might want to quit fronting. Can you say amen? Someday you might not want to play church anymore and lose victory in your personal life. Hear something and adhere to something that you can't walk out and you can't flesh out. You know what kept me out of church for years? The hypocrisy in the church. Kept me out of the church. It was a good excuse until God kicked that out from under me and said, they didn't die for you, I did. Can you say amen? That preacher didn't hang on the cross for you, I did. Can you say amen? If you want to criticize him and them, that's one thing. But I'm the one that hung on the cross. Look to me. Look to me. Look to me. Look to me. And I started looking to him instead of them. Can you say, man, they come and they go, they rise and they fall, but he ever lives to make intercession for me. Hallelujah. And he's faithful. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I can still tell the difference between a man and a woman I still get angry. But I try to not let it lead me to sin. Be angry and what? Don't ever get angry. Then there's these guys got into hyper faith. Guy went in and he's on TV all the time. He's got tens of thousands following his hyper faith message. His faith in your faith is what it is. It makes you more independent from God as you develop instead of more dependent on God. It's faith in reverse is what it is. And so he's got, you know, he's got a head cold. You ever talk to somebody with the head cold all stopped up? Have you ever been around somebody that was honking and blowing? And you hear the rattle of all that greenish yellow stuff coming out of their head? And he looked, because he's this faith minister that's up on this mountain all the time that just says it and it's done. And he looked and caught somebody looking at him because they heard this hacking over in the other aisle in a Christian bookstore. And sure enough, it's God's man of faith and power with what? A cold. This guy can move mountains. Cold ain't nothing. You don't get no cold. I don't accept no cold. And you know how he dealt with that? Without admitting that he was a human being like the rest of us? That needed God and dressed in. Can you say amen? You know what he said? When they looked at him, he blurted this out. I'm being healed of a cold. See, the idea is if you don't claim it, you don't have it. Problem is, we had evidence in that napkin. He had it. He didn't get it because he confessed it. He got it because he's human. He's in a faulty body. How many know this isn't the glorified one? You better be glad it isn't. You wouldn't want to live with this thing in heaven after about 100. Can you say? Amen? Amen. You want the one he prepared. He want this one remade and reconstituted. Hallelujah. That never grows old. Praise God. How old will we be? I don't know, but it won't be too old or it won't be heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I expect to see Pamela 29 and holding forever.
Can you say amen?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whatever the perfect age would be, amen, for you to enjoy life, that's what you're going to be. Because you're going to live forever in that body.
Hallelujah.
I thought that guy's crazy. He's so filled with fear. He's so afraid of the devil getting a foothold. He's afraid to admit that he's human. And the first step in overcoming the devil is seeing yourself as you truly are and looking to God with everything that you are.
Amen.
Can you say amen? In faith, there's a personal pronoun all the time, and it's not you, it's him. Hallelujah. Throughout all the scriptures, let's close very quickly. Hallelujah. The great missionary to China, J. Hudson Taylor, said, "The Lord alone is our anchor." He once said, "I have failed. I have failed. I will fail." What a bad confession. Somebody get him some tapes. But Jesus never fails.
Amen.
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 Admitting your failures didn't cause you to fail. Your weak flesh caused you to fail.
Amen.
But a confession of who you're looking to is what always lifts you up. Our hope is not in our ability to stand, but his ability to protect and sustain us. The Apostle Paul said, "When I'm weak, then am I made strong." They seem odd words. Listen, understand in our times of weakness when we understand how helpless we are. In those times, we are most dependent on the Lord. And we are most dependent on him. When we are most dependent on him, we're in the least danger. In those times when we feel so ill-equipped and needy, we are the strongest because we've stopped relying on our own strength and devices. But instead, we are resting on him and him alone. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're looking to you for everything. To our Father, personal pronoun. Personal pronoun. Personal pronoun. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Looking to who to do that? The God. Hallelujah. Of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today? We serve a mighty God. Did I give you that? It's queued up. Hallelujah. I serve a God who is mighty to save. I serve a God who will lift you up again and again and again. I serve a God that if you depend on Him, to the extent you depend on Him, you will not fail. Hallelujah. To the extent that you become self-confident and self-sufficient, you will fail. Amen. You will fail. Dave Wilkerson pointed people to Jesus. Ruth gave me a memorial to David Wilkerson, who's with the Lord, born in 1931. Amen. He's home safe with Jesus right now. Amen. He went in a way that I don't clearly understand. There are many ways to go home. His was instant in an accident, but he went home nonetheless. But I'll never forget when I first came to the Lord. My uncle had a few meetings in New York City with David Wilkerson when he was just starting Teen Challenge. We went to the first Teen Challenge that was ever here in the Tampa Bay area and visited the Teen Challenge house parents, I guess you would call them, at bringing young people, in particular at that time, off the streets from alcohol and drug abuse. And the government saw the mighty success of Teen Challenge, because people that had been through the methadone treatment, a substitute for some of the hard drugs, and through the government programs, there was a 20% people that stayed clean. But 80% went back into the same patterns. That's not a good success rate. But they looked at Dave's statistics. 80% stayed clean, and only 20% went back. And they wanted to know, and they invited David Wilkerson to Washington, D.C. And they said, "Dave, we are willing to fund Teen Challenge from the government. Millions of dollars for a drug program. But you can't talk about Jesus." And he said, "You take away Jesus, there is no program." And so he wrote a little book called The Jesus Factor. And he said, as much as we would love to have these millions of dollars to fund more and more Teen Challenge programs, none of them work without Jesus. It's the people who look, everybody say personal pronoun. It's the people who look to Jesus who stay free. It's the people who look to Jesus. Can you say amen? If you say, "Well, I pull myself up out of this." No, David said, "He," personal pronoun, "He lifted me from the miry clay. I did not extract myself. I'm going to turn over a new leaf." No, you're not. You need a new life. You will trade one drug for another. Amen. You'll trade heroin for illicit sex, or you'll trade illicit sex for alcohol, or trade alcohol for fortune and fame. But you're always going to be leaning on something until you start looking to Jesus. Can you say amen? Everybody say personal pronoun. Every time you see true faith, there's a person in focus. That's when Philip went down into Samaria, he preached Christ, personal pronoun, unto them. Hallelujah. People were saved. People were healed. People were set free. People were delivered. Because they were not looking to the highly anointed evangelist, but to the mightily anointed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this room today, there are people facing all kinds of challenges. I want you to know, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, someone is in your corner. Someone is on your side. And when you can't find it in yourself what you need to overcome or to stand, look to Jesus. See Him interceding for you. Can you say amen? And there will be rising up. You will stand. You will overcome. You will have the victory, because no one can defeat your champion. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. There's a church. We're going to leave here. Let me ask you this before we go. Anyone in here facing challenges right now in your life? Let me see your hand. Let me see it. Yes. Yes. All over this room, hands are being raised. It's not just you folks. I meet with the pastors group, all pro pastors here in Tampa. It's going international and national at this point. It's spreading because pastors are going through things. 1,700 preachers will leave the pulpit in America in 30 days. Every 30 days, 1,700 ministers will throw in the towel. You say, Brother Bumble, some of them are not called. Yes, I agree. But some of them, just having a calling, amen, you got to know who to look to when you're going through trouble. Just having an anointing or an appointing is not enough. Amen. We got to be able to look to Him. Amen. No matter how far we've advanced spiritually, we got to look to Him like the day when we knelt before the cross at an altar somewhere and said, Lord, only You can save me. Only You can change me. Only You can help me. Hallelujah. And guess what? He saved you, changed you, and helped you. Hallelujah. That place of faith is where all victory comes from. Can you say amen? Don't ever judge anybody else. Get out of that judgment seat. Can you say amen? Get on your face before God. If you see somebody not walking in victory, you start walking in victory. Don't tell them how. Show them how. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a Pentecostal church that went from what we are right now, amen, to several thousand people. Pentecostal in England. England's got a bad reputation for the church being dead. But I want you to know there's spiritual revival in England. And I want to sing Our God is Mighty to Save. How many know that a little bit? We sing it here. Amen. The lyrics are going to be on this. But I want to, let's go to Kingsgate Church in closing in England and worship with our brothers and sisters in the UK this morning. My God is mighty to save. By the way, you that look so sad at the end of a church service like this, you need God to help you. You need some real authentic relationship with God. Can you say amen? We hope you'll keep coming back, and that'll happen in one of these great services. God loves you today. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. How many love Him? How many are blessed?